As was mentioned, David is not here this morning. He's gone to the preacher's workshop this week, so you get to listen to me today. And I hope and pray that I can share something with you today that will be uplifting and encouraging. There was a time in the life of Jesus' disciples that they needed to hear something uplifting and encouraging. They had been walking with Jesus for maybe 3 years or so. Every day they're with Him, listening, learning from Him, being greatly blessed just to be in His presence. What a marvelous thing that must have been to actually walk with Jesus. But then there came that day when Jesus told them that He was not going to be here on this earth forever, that one day He would be leaving. Can you imagine what it must have felt like for those disciples? Their whole life had become walking with Jesus. That was everything to them. Can you imagine what it must have been if you were there and you hear Jesus saying that He's going to be leaving? Surely they were upset. Surely they were troubled. And thus we find in Scripture then, in John chapter 14, perhaps the most uplifting and encouraging words ever spoken by our Lord. He told them, "Let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God, and trust also in Me. In My Father's house, there are so many rooms. There's room enough for all of you. If it were not so, I would have told you. Yes, I'm leaving, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will take you home to be with Me. So that where I am, there you may be also." Those are indeed uplifting and encouraging words. Perhaps you've heard about the American tourist back in the 1800s. He went on a long trip all around the world to see so many things. And on his journey, one particular time, he came to a place and he heard about this Polish rabbi. And so he went to that man's home, found him, and was visiting there with him. He was astonished to see that this rabbi's home was really nothing more than just a room with a table and a chair and a lot of books. And so this tourist asked the rabbi, "Where's all your furniture?" And the rabbi said, "Well, where's yours?" And the tourist said, "Well, why would I have any furniture with me? I'm just passing through." And the rabbi said, "Well, so am I. Just passing through. This world is not our home, is it? We are passing through." Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "We are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly waiting for Him to return as our Savior." And I'm looking forward to that day. I am. I so much look forward to that eternal home. And I wonder, and maybe you do as well, what is it really going to be like? What is heaven going to be like? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Paul says, "No eye has seen, no ear has ever heard, and no mind has ever imagined all that God has prepared for those who love Him." We can imagine, perhaps, but really it's going to be far beyond what we expect. Growing up, I remember hearing about the time that my dad asked his dad
about heaven. And he would ask, when I get to heaven, will there be red soda pop there? Apparently that was something my dad really liked at that time. When I get to heaven, will there be red soda pop there? And I think my grandfather answered wisely. He said, son, if you want it, it'll be there. And I like that. And I think that, as I understand Scripture, I think that is an accurate depiction of what we can expect. If you want it, it will be there. And so I got to thinking this past week about what I would want to be there. What kinds of things do I want to be there? You know, the Bible talks about the great splendor of that holy city. It talks about its foundation being made out of precious stones and its gates made of pearl and the streets paved with gold. But that's not what I crave. I don't think of all those physical things and think, that's what I'm longing for. That's what I hope to see. That's what I want there. I just want all that great luxury there. That's not what I think about. That's not what I want. Number one, what I want to be there is my family. I want my family to be there. I think about Noah and how he preached for all those years. And it might seem like after preaching that long, surely he would have greater success. But who was on that ark? Noah, his wife, their three sons, and their wives. Noah got his family on that ark. And I believe in that he was successful. And if I get my family to heaven, no matter what else may have occurred, my life will have been a great success. That is so very important. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. You remember there where Joshua stands before them and tells them, you know, y'all need to make up your mind what you're going to do with your life. You know, if you refuse to serve the Lord, then decide who you are going to serve, whether these gods or those gods. But then he says, and you remember the line, don't you? But as for me and my house, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. That was his determination. And so it is also mine. I want to make sure that I and my wife and our three children make it to heaven. And if that happens, I will have been a great success. Someone once wrote these words, "As a boy, I thought of heaven as a city with domes, spires, and beautiful streets inhabited by angels. By and by, my little brother died. And I thought of heaven much as before, but with one inhabitant that I knew. And then another died, and then some of my acquaintances. So in time, I began to think of heaven as containing several people that I knew. But it was not until one of my own little children died that I began to think I had treasure in heaven myself. After it, another went, and yet another. And by that time, I had so many acquaintances and children in heaven that I no more thought of it as a city merely with streets of gold, but as a place full of inhabitants. Now there are so many loved ones there, I sometimes think I know more people in heaven than I do on earth. I want my family to be there, but I also think about my family that's already left this world. There'll be a day I'll get to see my father again. Sandy's mother will be there. My grandparents will be there. You have a lot of family, don't you, that you miss? I trust one day you'll get to see them there. Secondly, and maybe you saw this coming, I want you to be there. My church family. When we get to heaven, first of all, there's going to be a whole lot of people that we've never known. A lot of people there that are in the family of God. Revelation chapter 7, and I'm going to refer to several in that book for the next few minutes. If you want to turn there and read along with me, Revelation chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. And I trust you recall that throughout this book,
John is privileged to see a variety of visions given to him by our Lord to help him to understand some of the things that will happen shortly back in that time, and also things that will happen at the end of time. And here's one of the things that John sees, Revelation 7, verses 8 and 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." I asked Tyler recently, I was thinking about this and talking about heaven, and I asked Tyler, what do you want to do when you get there? And Tyler says, well, first I want to meet all those people. And there's going to be a bunch of them there. People we've never known, but people who are part of our family, the family of God. And I figure when we get there and we enter in, there are probably going to be a lot of buses around with names on them to take us to all different sections of heaven, and I'm going to be looking for that one that says Azalea City Forever Family. I'll have plenty of time eventually to go meet all those other folks, but first, I'd be real happy if all of us just had our corner somewhere and we could just celebrate for a while that we're all there. That sounds awfully good to me. You've probably heard it said before, if a man has one really good friend, then he's truly blessed. And I look around, and I feel like surely I must be the richest man in the world. I want so much for you, my church family, to be there. And then thirdly, and obviously, I want my God and my Savior to be there. And they will be. And I so look forward to seeing them. You've probably seen the picture. One day I'd like to have a copy of it. You go in the different Bible bookstores, you'll see it there. It's the one that shows all the clouds and obviously depicting something of heaven. And there you see just two figures. And the one that you can see the face of is obviously Jesus. And then you see the back of somebody else, and they're hugging. Do you remember that? Have you seen that picture? One day, we're going to get there. And I so look forward to that time that I can actually go up to and hug my Father and my Savior. Those who I love so very much. And I've spent a lot of time talking with my Heavenly Father. And what a joy it is to know that someday I'll actually get to be there. We have a song. It's not in our song book, but maybe you remember it. Face to face, shall I behold Him? Remember that? Someday it's really going to happen. And I so much long for that. In Revelation chapter 4, I want to share something with you that I discovered long ago in studying the book of Revelation. There's an interesting thing that we find in a few different verses scattered throughout. Revelation 4, verse 5 and part of verse 6 says, from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. John seeing here is the throne, and all around it is this marvelous sea of glass. Do you remember where John was when he wrote this? He was on an island somewhere, wasn't he? The Isle of Patmos. And there he was, surrounded by this great sea. A sea that separated him from his loved ones. And now he's seen a vision in heaven. Here's the throne and here's this sea. Now go over to Revelation chapter 15. Here, this vision here shows those who have already died because of their faith. John sees a vision here of some in our family who've already died, and therefore they're that much closer to being with God.
Revelation 15:2, and I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass holding harps of God. The sea is still there, but they're getting closer. But notice then in Revelation 21, now John sees a vision of the end of time, and we've all gathered there now. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. While we are here, there's still, in a sense, a distance between us and God. But as we get closer to that end of time, in a sense, maybe we're closer, and when we die, and when the Lord comes again, as John writes about here, there comes that time, there's no longer any sea. There's no longer anything that separates us in any way from being with our God. And I so look forward to that time. I remember a long time ago, you remember how the Bible talks about Enoch and how Enoch walked with God? Can't you just imagine them walking together day after day and how special that must have been? I remember a time in my life, long time ago, long before I met Sandy. There was a time I'd gone to college for a couple of years, and then I spent about 3 years working. And it was during that time that God and I spent a lot of time together. Pretty much every night I would go for long walks, maybe an hour or two, walking all around neighborhoods, talking with God, seeking for what I should do with my life, where I should go. And it was thereafter I went to Free Artemen, and I think things turned out pretty good. But I will never forget those long, long walks with my Heavenly Father. One more passage, 1 John chapter 3. And I've told you before, this is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we would be called children of God. And such we are. And for this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. I don't understand exactly what heaven's going to be like. Maybe they won't have buses there like I'm talking about. But I know I'll see my God and my Savior. And I so look forward to that time. Someone once wrote, my knowledge of that life is small. The eye of faith is dim. But it's enough that Christ knows all, and I shall be with Him. I look forward to that day. And I want to make sure. I want to see my family there. I want to see you, my church family, there. And I want to see my God and my Savior. What do you want? When you think about going to heaven, what do you want? And are you confident that you are today and every day walking with the Lord? Are you confident of that day when you can step into eternity? Are you confident that you'll be walking with the Lord forever and ever? What a great day that's going to be if you are in the Lord. And perhaps this morning you do not feel greatly confident. Your hope is not in yourself. Your hope is in Jesus Christ.
Your hope is in the blood of Christ that He shed to wash away your sins. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never, by faith, allowed God to wash away your sins when you are immersed into Christ. You can do that today, and you too can have that great longing and looking forward to that day. Perhaps this morning you just need to respond just where you are, realizing that your walk with God is not really what it should be. And I would pray that this morning you would change that, so that indeed someday all of us will be in heaven together. If you need to come, won't you come as we stand and sing?